Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Here's what's happening Tuesday, December 4th on this episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Lance Lambert, sitting in for Brady Wright with Master Mechanic and Metal Butcher, Mr. Shane Osborne, here as usual, and Steve, the producer, Johan, the single greatest kazoo player in all of Ferndale, Washington.
Thanks, Brady, for writing that in there.
Yeah. Back to the blacktop. We'll also be having that where we check out the latest happenings in the automotive world.
Well, this week, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow, you know, the guy that used to have a radio show about money, confirmed Trump will end subsidies for the electric car manufacturing segment.
No more government money?
Yeah. It should take place by 2020 to 2021. Covers other items, including renewable energy sources. This is part in response to a question about what the administration plans to do in response to General Motors' recently revealed plant closings and employee layoffs. And so I thought, now, GM lays off a bunch of people, isn't selling as many cars, and now we're going to cut subsidies for electric vehicles. Now, how do they coincide? So then I thought to myself, they don't, but it's an excuse to say we're not going to underwrite any battery-operated cars. They're going to have to make it on notes. And as we've said, we're not using the name. They almost went out of business this summer, the T. And so if you've been following the show for over a year, you know that everybody and their neighbor seems to be jumping on the battery bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we also know that it's still 1%, 2% of the population of car buyers actually purchase
these things.
Yeah. And the big reason is because China is mandating, yes, China, the same guys that harvest body parts from prisoners, has mandated that all cars got to be electric here soon enough.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, everybody's going, there's the golden ring, you know, the ring that you go around on a merry-go, try to grab it.
Yep.
Well, everybody's going for that golden ring because they're not making enough sales here in the United States. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting that I think there's a lot of other areas that they could cut budgets in, but we aren't going to be a political show. So with that, speaking of car sales, though, Fiat Chrysler has seen a 17%.
That's just weird to say.
Yes?
Fiat Chrysler.
Well, you know what? At least it's not United States government GM.
Yes, this is true.
You know, at least they have found a buyer, and I think we should have seen that with the other one, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fiat Chrysler has helped industry hold steady with a 17% increase in sales overall from last year. And this is really interesting. The car automotive industry has actually seen record sales in the last 4 years. Did you know this? That they're surpassing 17 million milestone for the fourth straight year coming up at the end of this year?
Yeah. Well, that's coming out with all the muscle cars.
Well, this is everybody. This is, yeah, I mean, yeah, we're not talking Fiat. But, yeah, we're talking in the midst of the muscle car era and the pickup and SUV era. I mean, they are taking over SUVs and pickups.
Yep. Can't climb over it, you got to outrun it.
That's right. So it's muscle cars and pickups. Climb over it or outrun it.
So my expertise, as you know from past times I've been on the show, is anything that's really old and barely running, and
right.
why in the world would anybody drive these old wrecks? So the market that you're talking about, is it that GM is going to push all this stuff to sell in China, because I understand that American cars are really a big deal over there? Is that what they're shooting for?
Well, what everybody's shooting for, all manufacturers, is to get more product into China.
Mm-hmm.
And China is mandating that all cars need to be electric.
Okay.
Because of their pollution issues.
So I'm kind of stating the obvious.
Yes. So GM, Ford, Chrysler / Fiat, Renault, you name it, Toyota, Mazda, they're all coming out with, even Porsche and is coming out with one, and Mercedes. They're all coming out with hybrids and battery-operated cars. But what's interesting is GM numbers overall have been down. And because of that, They've slashed a lot of their sedans, as Ford has pretty much wiped them out. They're gone except for the Mustang. And a lot of the Chrysler, Dodge, they're the same thing except for their muscle cars. And so what they're doing is they're removing all the sedans.
Mid-size sedans, family car.
And they've upgraded to SUVs and pickup trucks because that's the hottest seller now in the United States and abroad, believe it or not.
As it has been for a long time.
It has.
Pickups have been huge for...
Yes.
Forever. And so with that in mind, GM still is losing money. So they've been their first thing is they rolled out 7,500 white collar managerial positions are being retired early. And then now they've just closed three plants in the United States and one up in Canada. So they are in a tree trimming mode where they're
cutting
trimming
off everything.
That's right. Cutting back. Now we did discuss, do you think the CEO is going to be getting less shares and less salary as part of this, or do you think she's going to get more money for this because shareholders end up getting the benefits of the short run because of profits and all that kind of stuff? But anyway, it is kind of an interesting thing to keep watching when overall sales has gone up. And it's kind of like Harley. If you switch over to the motorcycling realm, Harley sales have been going down for the last 4 years. They've been...
Oh, yeah.
Sales are going down, down, down.
Even the value of the bikes have gone down.
Yeah. And they're now rolling out with a lot of new models. They're trying to combat it. They've come out with a Livewire, which is their actual electric motorcycle, battery-operated motorcycle. It's a cool-looking bike, but when you're paying $20,000+ for a toy, a lot of people go, that much money, I'm going to buy a car first before I buy a motorcycle. And that's why overall motorcycling has gone down, because it, after 2008, the market has not recovered overall, unlike what the government says. A lot of people who had discretionary income don't have it anymore. So the first things that go are toys. Unless, of course, you're the clients of Shane up at his shop, where it's usually guys in their 70s and above that have acquired a lot of money and now want to pay big bucks for...
Drive what they want.
And they'll spend $100,000 to customize a car. Funny enough, I have a friend who said, oh, yeah, I paid $50,000 to have my car customized.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, what happened
to it?
That's
a low number.
He says, well, I sold it for about 25.
Well, maybe I need to take my 63 Studebaker Avanti up to Shane.
Bring it by.
Well, I was changing a light bulb in the garage, and you don't need to move your car to change a light bulb that's underneath a light fixture. But
you stand
do.
On the hood?
Yeah. No, I had the ladder next to it, and when the light bulb came crashing down and hit the lens that was hanging from the light fixture, and it all came down on the Avanti. Now I'm having some paint work done on that car that I hadn't planned on it. So,
gosh, I thought I was the only one that does things like that.
Yeah, no.
Elton had a ladder come down on the hood of his truck. Yeah. So now we're repainting the hood of the truck.
Well, okay, that's cheaper than me riding the ladder down about 7 years ago and crushing my foot. And I still have pain after two surgeries. But ladders can be very deadly for vehicles and people, both. Yes. Congratulations to Honda Motor Company for having its 2019 Honda Insight for being named Green Car of the Year on last Thursday during the news conference at the Los Angeles Auto Show. And, you know, that sounds like a really good show. I've read a lot of blurbs about the show compared to the Detroit Auto Show, the Europe, the German Auto Show, and they say they weren't near as good. But the LA Auto Show is sounds like it's a very, very good show. And we didn't ask Brady about the Seattle show.
Oh, no, we didn't.
So.
I don't know.
I've heard.
I heard it was decent.
Did you go there, Lance?
I didn't. I've gone years past, and it's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller.
That's the way they're all going that way. Yeah. So, well, anyway, there's our music. And
we're glad to have you with us. Today's trivia question is coming up, and along with a chat on horsepower, chrome, and rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with the second segment. Yeah, the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for the windshield view. And this week we have a guest, John Howard. How you doing, John?
Good evening. I'm doing wonderful. How about you guys in the great west,
it's upper cold.
Northwest area?
Yeah. And John, just so everybody knows, where do you live?
I reside in a suburb outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, called Trenton, Ohio. Our claim to fame is we have a Miller Coors brewery in our town.
Ooh, awesome.
You live in a good neighborhood.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about
there
it.
You go. That's about it.
Well,
yeah, cornfields.
So it's a lot of flat out there, then, I take it.
No, actually quite a bit of hills.
Oh, okay. Now, you said, where was it? Okay, one more time, I was adjusting my levels here.
No problem. It's Trenton, Ohio.
Trenton, Ohio. Okay. I've been to Iowa, but I've not been to Ohio. So one of these days I'll get out there.
Yeah, you need to come out here and enjoy some of our hospitality. We've got it going on out here.
Well, and it sounds like it because you're part of a number of car clubs, and we're going to kind of talk about that. So John is a member of the Fasteaks. It's a Falcon car club. He's also a member of Scroungers, which is another car club. And he is an old hand at radio. He used to host a local radio show there about automotive things on a station there in town. And John, we thought we'd bring you on and chat a little bit about your love for cars. And when did you fall in love with four wheels?
Well, probably like about every guy, between the Hot Wheels and the Tonka toys and things of that nature. I know you guys were speaking of Hot Wheels here a while back.
Yep.
And that probably got me going on it. Then we did Soapbox Derby Racing, was sponsored by a local bank.
All right, on.
So you do have a hill there.
I got beat. Yeah. Yeah, and I got beat the first year they let girls race with the boys, 1976, and I got beaten by a girl. So it was just a long series of butt kickings I've taken from women my whole life. From there, obviously, I got my first car, though, when I was 13 years old. My father was a landlord, and a tenant gave me a 63 Dodge Polara with the wide block 318 in it.
Oh, you can't go wrong there.
No.
Yeah, and I fixed it up a little bit and sold it, made a couple $100, and the rest, they say, is history. And from then, I've just went crazy, and things have gotten out of control. And you know, the funny thing is, I don't do this for my living. I don't do anything with cars for my living.
Well, a 13-year-old and a Dodge Polara, it's like you barely you're looking through the steering wheel instead of over it, huh?
Yeah, I never got to drive it much. Let's just say that. How about that?
Yeah, I think
I did live in a rural farming community, so you know you could kind of sneak off and do a few things here and there, but you didn't want to be too blatant about it.
Some donuts in the fields.
Yeah.
No, more like in a parking lot across the street at the Volkswagen repair shop.
There you go.
Asphalt's always more fun.
Yes, it is. You know, yes. Polara, I think was a 63. It was either a 68. It was an old. It's the type that the police interceptors had a 383 in it, and probably more like a 68, or maybe it was a 60. Anyway, my buddy had one in high school, and he had the 383, and we used to race around in that at a stick shift, which was a lot of fun. And boy, he had we worked on it a little bit, and we put some cherry bombs on it, and that was all he had for exhaust off the headers. And when he came up the hill, he'd be at the bottom of the block. And he'd turn the corner, and you'd hear it, and all of a sudden the whole house would start rattling. It was just like rattling. And it's like my dad goes, "Is that your friend out there?" I go, "Yeah, it is." "Oh, okay." So fond memories of those cars. Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about when did you get involved with you say you're involved with a Falcon Club, and what was the name of it again?
I'm actually president of the Ohio Valley chapter of the Falcon Club of America, which we are an official recognized chapter of the National Falcon Club of America.
So what year is your Falcon?
And we have about, I have seven. Can you be more specific? You might want to go hit me up on Facebook, yeah, because I actually have we'll start them out by year. I've got a 61 Ranchero that I drive pretty much year-round. I've got a 62 Falcon two-door station wagon, which is the first Falcon. Isn't the first Falcon, but the first Falcon I've bought in recent times. And I've had it 19 years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like two-door
wagons.
And
then I move into a 62 Falcon Gasser, straight axle, four-link rear suspension, motor's been pushed back. It's got a rack and pinion steering on it, and it's pretty much, I won't say full race, but I drive it on the street, but I also race it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's my
alley. I have a 63 Falcon two-door hardtop Futura that was built by Daryl Starbird, if you remember Daryl.
Ooh, yes. That's pretty special.
He built it in 1966. Yep, there's only one of one of that car.
Does it have a bubble top on it?
Nope. He actually built it for one of his employees who bought it new and got married in it. And to Daryl, we probably have a car to advertise the business, what we do here in Wichita. So in 66 they built it, and Jim Troyer was the man's name, and he pretty much drove it every day.
Wow.
And it was found back in 2002, I believe it was, behind a barn in Dodge City, almost junked, realized what it was, and it was brought back to its former glory, and now I own it, and I'm caretaking
barn
all the cars.
Barn find.
Well, Daryl Starbird,
no,
he was the George
Barris. No,
barn
Barris dust. Yet. It was found behind the barn.
Oh, okay. What were you saying?
So, well, Daryl Starbird, he was the George Barris of your end of the country.
Yeah, Daryl's still at it at 85 years old. Uh-huh. I bought the car this year in Wichita, where he's from, and then drove down to Afton, Oklahoma, and enjoyed the afternoon with Donna, his wife of 65 years, and Daryl.
That's pretty cool.
And one of my questions to Daryl was, when are you going to stop? He goes, when they put me in the ground. So I thought that was a pretty good answer.
I think there's a connection. We will talk after the show. You'll get me his contact information. We got to bring that guy on the show.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Daryl is a great guy. You can look him up, darylstarbird.com. He's got a website. He's got a museum down in Afton. Just a really neat guy.
Excellent.
And then I've got a 63 Falcon Sprint two-door convertible. Factory bucket seat automatic, factory tack car, very nice car, and a 64 Falcon Sprint two-door hardtop.
Hmm.
That car was asked to be displayed at the River Rouge Ford facility at the 100th anniversary here a few months ago. I was invited by Ford to bring it up and represent one of the 24 automobiles that they've built there at that facility in the last 100 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So that was kind of fun. Got to meet Bill Clay Ford Jr. Got to hang out with Edsel Ford Jr. again. I've met him before. And Willie, I can't remember Willie's last name. He's 65 years of continuous employment at Ford and still working every day.
Wow.
I got to shake his hand.
In the Falcon community, having a Sprint, is that the top of the pecking order?
That's kind of the pecking order. You know, that's the most coveted because it was the most rare. So, and obviously this Futura, all it is a trim package. Let's get down to brass tacks. It's not like getting a KR500 Shelby today versus a Mustang. Yeah. There's no really performance upgrades to speak of.
Well,
they were all V8. That's one thing, all sprints. There was the elusive supposed six-cylinder 63 Falcon sprint, but nobody's ever produced one. I've never seen it.
Well, I wanted to back up there for a second. For those who do not track Falcons per se, what was the first year and the last year runs of the Falcon line?
Well, you know, the funny thing about the Falcon line, you guys were talking Corvairs the other day. It almost mirrored the Corvair. It started production in 1959, late 59. They called it a 60, a 1960 to 1970 and a half. And then you guys were also talking. I've binged listened to every episode you guys have, so I know what you guys have been talking about the last year at least.
Oh, great.
And, and I've turned all my friends on to listening to it as well because there's a lot of good information in there.
Thank you.
And, but they produced the Falcon up through 70 and a half. They did produce a half year. You had talked about the Mavericks coming in 1969.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's true. And they ceased production of the Falcon to produce the Maverick. But
they
had cars sold.
Hold on there. I want to hear more about this. And we got our break coming up. So hang on. We'll be right back. Our music's going to start here in just a quick right there. So, folks, hang on. We got more of our great guest. And, we even got a cool story by Lance a little later on in our trivia question to go. So stick with us. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
City. Yes, we are back in Vehicle City again. This week on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, we have John Howard. And John is a president, as we found out, of the Falcon Club of America chapter in his local area. He's also a member of the Scroungers Car Club. And he was he also hosted a auto show. And through all this, we're finding out he's gotten to know a lot of really cool people. And John, I got to ask you. You're like Lance, you're a big car collector, and me, I've got one. Shane, you've got more than you should have. They're all over the place, too.
Yes.
Where do you park all your prized possessions?
Well, my son, I was in real estate for a very short period of time, and because I wasn't very good at it, I got hired by another real estate agent to do a clean out up at Miami University. You know, you're the home of Big Roethlisberger, Ben Roethlisberger's college town. And ended up hooking my son up with a house that has about a 15-car garage. So,
good job, Dad.
Well, the guy was into heavy equipment. He used it for heavy equipment. We put hot rods in it. And my son, I call him my son. I love Tom like he is my son, but he's my stepson. But
yeah,
he's got the car bug as bad as I do.
Wow. And it's probably a pole barn, and it probably is just outfitted, correct?
Well, no, he's right now been working on the house. He hasn't got it fitted up like my garage. There are benefits to being my stepson. As soon as he's ready, he gets the two lifts that are in my garage, the tire changer, the balancer. All my equipment that I have will be going over to his place because, obviously, I'm not going to say I'm on the downside, but I'm going to downsize.
Yes.
So time to start thinking a little smaller footprint. I just haven't never been able to get rid of any of my car. I'm really good at buying, but I'm not really good at selling.
Lance, does that sound familiar?
It does. And if I had a different wife, and I have a great one for 42 years, but
yes,
I'd have even more cars.
Yes.
She puts a brake on now and then.
Yep.
Hey, John.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, somebody might be listening. I'm a real car.
She loves it when I buy cars.
All right, great. I'm a real car club guy. I started a club called the Steeds back in 1962 when I was 15, and the club is still going. There's about 90 members right now, and it sounds like you're a real car club guy. What is it about clubs that make you want to be part of them, and sounds like you're president of a big hunk of one of the major clubs?
Well, what made me want to do it is the camaraderie and the commonality of the vehicle and the like-minded individuals that are just car guys in general. It doesn't matter if you collect Fords or you collect Chevrolets or whatever. I actually have a Chevrolet. I don't own all just Ford. I also have two 69 AMXs. So I'm into a little bit. If it's got wheels, I kind of like it. But mainly the camaraderie and the fellowship, hanging with the other guys, helping the younger guys learn more about the heritage and the techniques of working on these. I get asked to work on other people's car all the time. You'd be amazed at how many ASC certified mechanics that have no idea how to put a set of points in.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
And it even gets worse than being a president of the Falcon Club in the state of Ohio. I'm also the whole Northeast regional director. I take care of Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Canada. All of those clubs report to me, and I have to report to the national club, you know, their activities and what's going on.
Well, how many?
So I'm really in.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say how.
I would say yeah. There's over 3,000 active members in the National Falcon Club of America.
Wow.
And I think five countries represented. We did a regional, our first regional in Dayton, Ohio this year as a chapter, and we had 82 cars show up, and two countries, America and Canada, represented. And that we've never done a show.
Wow.
But we decided to do one this year, and it turned out really well.
Do you have outlets in Australia?
Matter of fact, there is an Australian Falcon Club because the Australians, the Aussies, just ended the production of the Ford Falcon after many, 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 many years, and they've been making it in Brazil as well in Argentina for quite a long time.
Now, are they still called Falcons over there, or are they called something else?
Correct. No, it's called a Ford Falcon. It's not like a Holden Ute or a Holden
right.
or a yeah. They didn't change the name. Ford is proud of what they do, and it is what it is.
Do the ones in Argentina look like an old Falcon, or they look totally different?
Yeah, no, that's the problem. They look like a '62 Falcon, but they shoved square headlights in them in the later years. They looked kind of odd.
Huh. Wow. You know, if you go look.
If you go look them up, they're quite odd. And I'd like to transgress and go backwards a little bit.
Yes.
The Ford Falcon production ended in 70 and a half out of Atlanta. They built a body code 26F. They built a four-door hardtop, a four-door sedan, a two-door sedan, and a station wagon. But all they were basically was a sedan Torino, which they never made a 70 sedan Torino or a Fairlane. They were all hardtops. And they were all formal roofs, but all they did was take the badges off and shove Falcon badges and put a B pillar between the back window and the front window and called it a Falcon.
Yeah, because the Torino took over with the Ranchero. I mean, it became a Ford Torino was what the Ranchero became.
The Ranchero changed in 66. It was still considered a Falcon. All it was a Fairlane back end with a Falcon front end.
But didn't
in 67, they eliminated that, and they just called it, you know, it was the Ranchero still, but it was clearly Fairlane with the perpendicular headlights.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the 70s, it looked like the Torino front end, but I guess it was the Fairlane.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, that it was the same Torino front end. The 70.5 Falcon shares the Cobra Torino grill.
That's why they're
so dang pricey. The parts on those cars are outrageous. That grill, you'll pay $2,000 for a good grill. You could order that Falcon with a 429 shaker ribbon tech 4-speed.
Yes, yes.
Are the Falcon people mad at the Maverick people?
No. I mean, it's just natural evolution. Uh-huh. Models change. They come and go.
Yeah.
Mavericks are great cars. Fairlanes, great cars. But we choose the Falcons. I like the smaller body style. It's more nimble. It's sleeker. And honestly, when I got into it, it's because they were cheap. You could buy a nice Falcon fairly reasonable. It isn't that way anymore.
Falcons the early ones have a kind of a dignity to the body style, kind of a sensible dignity, I think. A little bit of, and I mean this totally as a compliment because I'm a heavy-duty Studebaker Rambler guy. There's sort of a sensible, squared-off, just a nice, clean lines to them, I think.
Yeah,
right, very no frills, no ups, no extras, kind of like Earl Scheib, you know. As they got more pervasive in the market, and let's get down to brass tacks, the Mustang is what killed the Falcon.
Yeah.
They had
taken all those performance ideas. They'd taken all the performance ideas off the Falcon with the V8 and the 4-speed and the factory tack, and they used that same platform, stretched it out a little bit, and Mr. Gail Halderman had about 6 hours to design. That's another gentleman you need to get on your show. He lives up in Tip City, Ohio, up just a little north of me. He designed the Falcon like in 6 hours for a meeting the next day. Mm-hmm. The Mustang. He designed it like 6 hours for a meeting the next day, and the rest, they say, is history.
Yeah, well, the cliche of a Mustang is just a Falcon in a fancy dress.
Yeah, we always say, who's your daddy?
Would I be mistaken that the Chevy Nova also became a very formidable competitor of that same, since it was that small, nimble kind of body?
That's exactly right. You know, they still swear up and down that the Mustang is the first pony car. But that little Nova, you know, they turned it into an SS. The original SS were six-cylinder power glides, but, you know, later generations brought in the 327. You get a solid lift cam and a 4-speed in the thing, and it was a terror.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just like the Falcons. I mean, the Falcon was a terror with a 289 and a 4-speed.
That's
it
right.
A pretty hot little running car.
There's a few Avanti owners out there that say they were the first pony cars, but I don't want to start a fight here. So.
Yeah, that Avanti. Now, that's all. I'm a Studebaker guy as well, so we have commonality there. I actually own the Studebaker Daytona Wagonaire that was on the Mr. Ed show at one time.
Wow. Yeah. You owned that car?
Yep, and I sent it to Norway. The gentleman wanted to buy it and put it on a boat. And
talking
it's in Norway,
Mr. Ed.
That's very cool.
You've had your hands in a little bit of some nostalgia there with your cars. And, I mean, our time is slipping, but I wanted to kind of slip into another gear, which is you're a little bit of you had some radio experience. Talk to us about that. What was the radio show that was related to cars?
I was recruited by a radio show called Motor Mania Radio. Motor Mania Radio on Class X Radio, which Class X, it's a little different format there because it was non-commercial. So we really had to kind of watch what we said because can't go out promoting other businesses and stuff. So it was a bit difficult, but it was a great time, and we had a lot of fun. We did the same thing that you guys do. We'd pontificate upon whatever the host, the leader, wanted to talk about that week. And because of my knowledge, like you said, kind of like Brady, I can bring a lot to the table. And when we're talking about something, you know, and like, you know, we were talking about Corvairs earlier, you guys were saying that they made them about 6 years. They actually made them nine. In the last year, in 1969, they hand-built the last few Corvairs because nobody wanted them, but they had orders, so they had to fulfill it.
Wow, yeah.
So that's the history of the Corvair. But the radio show dragged me into it. We had a great time, but they actually got wind that they were going to be going to a commercial station, and the ownership found out about it, and they weren't real happy about it, and they pretty much walked off the set and left me standing there, and they told me I could continue the show by myself. I'm like, you know, me talking about cars by myself doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I don't think I can fill 2 hours of radio a day, you know, or a week. We did it on Saturday mornings, which was problematic. I'd rather be at shows than talking about shows.
That's
because we did our shows live.
Wow. Yeah. Well, when you're on radio, I've done radio live, and mine was 10 at night to 12 o'clock, but I rented my time. So after I spent money doing that for a number of months, I said, I will never buy time on a radio station again. And that's what got me into doing podcasting. So, but that's very interesting. So it was it two or three of you guys?
It was three of us. We had an engineer, which was the brother of the host.
Yep.
And he would interject here and there when he wanted to. You know, he went on to actually sign a record deal, and he was quite a talented young man, good at production. We actually did a few shows offline and played them, and I think that's the way we should have went with it. But, you know, I'm not the one leading the band. I just, you know, was the follower, and, you know, hindsight's retrospective, and it was a great experience. I was in high school radio, and that's what made me want to do it to begin with.
Yep.
And I used to live up in Detroit in Motor City, and yes, I've cruised Woodward Avenue. I've been to Gratiot Auto Supply. I've done all those fun things up there.
Well,
and, it's just trying to cram everything that I know in my poor little head. I did want to throw out a shout out to my friends at the Fast Heeks. You did touch on them real quick.
Yes,
we just donated another $65,000 to the Shriners Hospitals for Children, Cincinnati.
Excellent. Yes.
which makes our total giving for that show, the Pumpkin Run Nationals. You can check that out at pumpkinrunnationals.com. And the Pumpkin Run Nationals, we had 2,576 cars for 3 days. And that's where we generated the money to donate. And our giving total now is at about $1.2 million
Wow.
that we've given to the Shriners Hospitals. That's not bad for a bunch of little hillbillies in Claremont County.
I think the Steeds need to choose a worthy.
Hey, we've donated since 1962. We've donated nearly $1,000.
Wow!
So, you know, the Falcon Club. We also have piggybacked onto that show, and we do a Falcon mini meet there, and we've donated $700 for the last 7 years, and we don't even have a way to generate money. We are a non-dues paying chapter. If you want to join my Falcon Club at OVCFCA, it's basically an acronym, Ohio Valley Chapter Falcon Club of America, .com, you can join our group, and there's no dues. As long as you're a National Club member, you can come into our chapter.
Excellent.
And we have a good time. It's all about giving back, having fun, teaching the younger guys what to do on these old classics, because like I said earlier, we're just all caretakers for these vehicles. It's not like I own them now in title, but let's get down to it. Eventually somebody else is going to own it after I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, John, we're
hopefully
running
a long time from now.
Yes. You bet it is, because you're younger than I am. So, John, we're running low on our time. Is there any place that people can go to find out more about what you're doing?
Sure. You can go hit that pumpkinrunnationals.com, all one word, pumpkinrunnationals.com, and that'll tell you everything about that show. It's been going on. This year will be our 44th year, or you can go to OVC, Ohio Valley Chapter, FCA.com. Just use the acronym, and that'll take you to our local chapter, or falconclub.com. We'll take you to the National Falcon Club.
Excellent. Well,
and that'll then there's chapters all over the country. We'd love to hear from people. I'm involved with the national board. Anytime you want to reach out, just don't hesitate.
Very good. Well, John, thank you so much.
I'll give you my contact information. You can put it up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We have run out of our time with you. And folks, we're going to be right back with more of our show. Thanks, John Howard, for coming on. And make sure to check out his website. go to thepumpkinrunnationals.com. We'll see you on the other side.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome to the fourth segment of our show. This is Cars Confidential, where we hear a story from Brady usually, but Brady is not here, so I think Lance is going to take his space.
I'm going to take the space, and
I think he's going to read out of his own book.
Though. My own book, yeah. David Dickinson, forgive me, David. David's a good buddy of mine.
Yes.
But Fender Spins and Friends, it's the first book I wrote. I've got three books out there. This is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all kinds of places, and it's a compilation of books or stories I've written for various newspapers and magazines and all, but I'm going to read to you a story called Out of Odor. It was March 8th, 1963, and it was time for me to buy a car. I had been 16 years old for nearly 24 hours, and that was long enough wait before I purchased my first real car. My stepdad and I went to look at a canary yellow 1948 Chevrolet Fleetline Aereo sedan that seemed to be in reasonable condition. I'd saved up $125 from my paper route, and that's what the seller accepted for the car. Okay, a car is now in my life, and it's time to obtain another important thing in a 16-year-old's life, a date. Everyone seemed to think that Donna was the perfect girl for me. She was nice, quick to laugh, and attractive. I gave my friend's suggestions some thought and set my sights on Donna. Having a car my sophomore year elevated me to being one of the big men on campus status holders and therefore date worthy. I'd made my Chev even cooler by adding 1957 Buick hubcaps and lowering the front end 3 inches. I was sure I now owned a car that was irresistible to all my female classmates. I worked up my courage and asked Donna if she would like to join me for a few hours at the Autoview Drive-In Theater. She apparently found my hubcaps irresistible and agreed to spend a Saturday night parked with me in row number 10 at the drive-in.
You even remember the row.
We were having a great time and really hitting it off well, when for whatever reason we began tickling each other. Now don't jump to conclusions. I was a nice boy and my intentions were honorable and she was a perfect young lady. Perfect except for her feet. The tickling fest expanded to my reaching down and removing her shoes. Oh my God. Those shoes are magic because they managed to conceal her horrible foot odor up to this point in the evening. I thought I was going to pass out due to the horrific smell. Back then, every person had heard the urban legend about the perfect 58 Corvette that had been bought for only $50 because someone died in it and the smell can't be removed. I'd have sold my Chev for less than that if I thought that Donna's foot smell wouldn't go away. I had to get out of the car immediately. I made the excuse I was going to get us something from the refreshment stand so I could get away from her feet as quickly as my own feet would carry me. Now what was I going to do? She put on her shoes before I returned, and the smell had dissipated to the point that I could drive her home. Of course, the windows were rolled down. I probably should have assumed that her feet were having some kind of reaction to my irresistible hubcaps, and this was a hygiene disaster that would not likely happen again. However, I could not take the chance this upholstery melting event might repeat itself. There was no second date, but we did remain friends throughout high school. She probably told the story many times about the night she went out with some guy who owned the smelliest car in school.
Wow. And you is that her real name, or did you use someone else's name?
I used someone else's name.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, it was horrendous. It was like bad pickles.
I have never had, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes my sons,
You have boys, how do you not know?
I do know. I'm like, I've gotten Lysol out before and sprayed in it. And spray them. Well, what it is, it's like wearing the same shoes day in, day out, wet, dry.
Famous socks.
You think about shoes and you see all these wonderful Westerns. Can you imagine what people's feet were like? The same cowboy boots, week, month, year after year. That's all you owned, and they were wet, dry, and you didn't have a washer machine. So a lot of times we just don't remember that a lot of life for history was smelly.
Well, my books contain stories about my time as being a roadie for the Wailers. The old timers in the audience know the Wailers, and one of my jobs after their concerts was, and this is the lowest thing you can do in showbiz, one of my jobs was spraying deodorant in their shoes.
Oh, my gosh. So that's kind of like when you work at the bowling alley. Mm-hmm. You've got to spray the Lysol in the shoes after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great story.
Well, thank you. And as I said, the books are available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and most any bookstore. Lots of them, especially here in the Northwest, have them on the shelf.
So, Lance, are you still shooting more episodes of the Vintage Vehicle TV show?
After 24 years and 465 episodes, we kind of put it on the shelf. The reruns are still out there. We're on over 100 stations across the country and in 27 foreign markets, and there's still a demand for the show. We keep getting contact every week. A station says, please send us more. But the whole television industry changed. They want more for less, and it got harder to do the show. It got to be work.
You know,
it was fun for a long time. As soon as it got to resemble work, I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. So, yeah. But what a good time we had.
Well, and you've met hundreds and hundreds of well-known and not
all
so well-known, and just people that love the passion of
collecting. The question I got asked constantly was, especially in the beginning, was, have you had Leno on your show? And no. Well, I ended up having Leno on the show twice. And as soon as I would say yes, I was legitimate. I mean, even
isn't
if the people
funny?
Had watched me on, watched the show on TV, but it took having Leno on the show before people considered, you've got a real show.
So, I guess we're going to have to work at getting Leno on our show.
You might pull it off.
Yeah, well, so I'll just say Lance Lambert said to give me a call.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that'll do it.
that's funny. And I think, did you just do something over there?
I did. I lost all my headphones and everything.
Oh, man, you just, all of a sudden my headphone went.
Yeah, and I'm not here.
Oh, you just got to plug it back in there. And no, just stick it on the outside for now. So it was like he was, were you fiddling around again over there?
No, I was just moving my feet.
You shouldn't have done that. Anyway, can you hear it now?
There.
Okay, good. So anyway, technical difficulty.
I'm breaking stuff.
Yeah, I know. I got that squeeze ball over there for you. Arrgh. Well, you know, the thing is, Lance, you've been a long-time connoisseur of cars, and you like the more, what I would call, less well-known and the less sought-after cars.
The orphan cars.
Orphan cars.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay, because everybody, I came across this, and maybe you've even heard about, have you ever heard of a 1956 Powell pickup truck?
Yes, uh-huh, very boxy. Yes. And they stopped making those because they couldn't, it's their Plymouth Motors. And
well, this one's got a Plymouth motor in it, mm-hmm. but the owner.
They're very resembling to the Broncos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Made this guy in Arkansas selling one for $1,800 or $18,000.
They were making them out of leftover Plymouths.
What it looks like.
But they ran out of leftover Plymouths and went out of business.
It looks kind of very boxy. The mm-hmm. back end, you can unscrew it and pull something out. It's a weird tray.
Yeah. It's got a long tube in the back.
Yes, that's what I, and I don't know what that was about, but I look at it and I'm like, it kind of looked like they welded pieces together just to make this thing. It's just kind of a weird looking vehicle.
Clean house.
What's that?
They're cleaning house.
I think so.
Yeah.
Leftover parts.
Yeah, you could put fishing poles in that long tube.
Right.
Yeah, they were good for that, flight poles.
Well, maybe they were thinking of the outdoorsman, and we got mm-hmm. some extra parts, so let's just throw it together. Yeah. And I can't say that it's the most impressive looking vehicle, but it is pretty cool.
Yeah. Stay right here. And more horsepower.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand. Help us if you can. You're an El Camino.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel, where we talk about events, rallies, club scene, movies, cruise-ins, books, and the weekly trivia question. Our winner from last week's question is Boyd Gallagher from Thompson Falls, Montana.
Right on.
Love Montana. The question was, the first car with production series hydraulic valve lifters. And the answer that Boyd got correctly was a 1930 Cadillac 542. It was also the first production V16.
Wow. V16. Did they put those in those cigarette boats?
I don't know about the 30 Cadillac, but yeah.
But the V16s?
V12s.
V12s, yeah.
I wonder if those ended up in any tanks.
I don't know. Huh. I don't know. 1930.
They were in tanks to begin with.
yeah. Jeez.
We have a question for next week. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
I bet this one's easy. Where was the first three-color traffic signal installed?
Oh, very cool.
And saying on a pole is not the right answer.
No, it has to be where was it installed? Yeah.
So it says, send us your answer on the show page on Facebook or email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, and you too can win the coveted bucket of genuine HC&R barn find.
It's Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Fine Dust.
Dust, okay.
And yes, you can see a great picture of Shane holding one of our cans of...
Yes, sprinkle it liberally on any car and it doubles the value.
That's right.
So is this real dust or is this what's
it's
left
right
on
It's right over there, well, right okay. there on All the right. shelf.
Is this what's on your sweater when sweater you come back from the shop?
That's it. Yeah. I shake off every week.
Yeah, it's what you find in a barn that makes these cars so sought after okay. is the barn dust.
All right.
Because we all hear about barn finds, great barn finds, motorcycles, cars, mm-hmm. boats,
yeah.
Dead bodies. It all is valued because of the barn dust that's
right.
on there.
Right. And somebody mentioned earlier, all you have to do is get one of those cars, put $100,000 into it, and
yes.
flip it and make $40,000.
That's exactly about the ratio.
Yeah. Lose $40,000.
Yeah. Lose $40,000. But on the other hand, you know, you think about that in the motorcycling realm, it's the same way. Mm-hmm. You buy a bike, you customize it, you had $20,000, $40,000, you got a really cool bike, turn around, try to sell it, you'll never get your money out of it.
No.
Same thing with boats, same with the RVs.
That's why you got to do it for the love of the car.
You do it for the love of the vehicle. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Who would have ever thought that, I've never seen a buckboard customized. Have you ever seen a buckboard customized? Or was chariots customized? But something about cars in customizing and motorcycles customizing. You know, bicycles, we all did that when we were kids. Because we were copying what the big boys did.
Yep.
And then the big girls, too, for that matter. But it's kind of interesting when you think about the history of cars and us human beings, and we like to modify them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, humans and wheels, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
If someone's got wheels on it, we got to change it.
Yeah, you can't just leave it alone.
And the people that are smarter than us go, what is wrong with you people?
Well, yeah. Well, there's the people who say, well, it's just utilitarian, so they run around in whatever they do, and it might be a really nice car. It might be just a bucket of bolts. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, maybe they're really into Star Wars toys or, comic books, or they're into the latest coach, apparel. You name it.
Well, I know you have a show coming up in the near future on Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels next. Yeah, in a couple of weeks we are going to have.
I was looking at the sale prices on Hot Wheels, and it's crazy.
Guys, take pictures of your Hot Wheels and post them on our Facebook page.
All right. Well, the music is our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks to John Howard for the conversation, and thanks to you for liking and following our website and Facebook page. Check out the archive for all our shows at www.horsepowerchromeandrust@podomatic.com. That's podomatic.com. For Brady Reich, Shane Osborne, Steve Johann, and I'm Lance Lambert, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot up to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. So now I'm going to let Brady out of the trunk of my car. See you next week.